Yeah, we'll just start straight away.
All right, sick.
Welcome to Not Bothered Podcast. We're in the north of England, in a tree. Why?
I think it's just better than just being in a fucking shit studio.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Just some background, some nice birds tweeting.
How many podcasts have you seen recorded in a tree?
Here's your question. Introduce yourself.
My name is Mike Delaney. I'm a PT. That's pretty much it. I'm a PT.
Yeah.
I'm a PT.
Fitness influencer.
Fitness influencer, online PT, recreational history enthusiast. Shredded individual, yeah. Magnum ice cream connoisseur.
Mm.
Yeah. Probably say that as well.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'd say so.
I don't know anyone who knows more about Magnum ice creams than you.
No.
Well, you don't follow
generally just lift weights and record it and take pictures and coach people on how to look similar and achieve various physique related goals.
We went to the gym yesterday.
We did.
I'm injured now. I had a recurring injury, but tried to work around it, didn't work. But we'd know next time to on my shoulder, this shoulder, to not put as much effort as this shoulder, pretty
yeah,
much.
You're going to have to just train like one side of your body at a time.
Exactly, so get this side massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I've got a controversial topic to talk about. You interested?
I am interested, yeah. I'm interested in what you've got. Yeah, go on, what you got for me.
So, an old friend of mine identified as a woman and broke the women's deadlift record. You might know him, Zuby.
Yeah.
He got famous from that. I mean, he was famous to me beforehand from his music, but...
I read about that, yeah. I watched a video on it.
Yeah. The whole point he made was, it was unfair on women athletes.
Just to show how ridiculous it was, right?
Because he's massive.
Yeah,
He's huge. He's been training since he was a kid. I've known him since we were, 17, 18.
Yeah.
And he's always been massive.
Yeah.
And he, in his words, paraphrasing, I can break the women's deadlift record. So I identify as a woman, break the record, change back to a man.
Yeah, well, that's the point he's making, isn't it? It's just how arbitrary it all seems and how, you just, whatever you feel like is then true. Like this idea of my truth instead of the truth.
Yeah.
I saw one video the other day, actually, some guy, he joined it. This is in America, of course, because the craziest stuff always happens in America. This guy, he's literally in his fucking got to be 60s, man. He's just this old guy with longish grey hair. He looks like George Washington, actually. Literally looks like someone's dug up George Washington and now he's trans. It's like the trans George Washington. So he started just going in the girls, in the women's changing rooms, right? He wears women's gym stuff.
Right.
Obviously, he's not in any kind of shape because he's in his 60s. He's got a physique like a fridge. You know what I mean? He's just a weird rectangular shape. but he's just started going in there without warning, man. And women are coming out complaining about there's a guy and fucking George Washington's in the changing rooms.
It sounds funny, but it's harsh on these women because...
Well, this is it. I think the police came. I'm not sure how it actually turned out, but it wasn't as clean cut as you might think. To me, I'd just be oh, you're a male and you've just gone in the female changing rooms. Get the fuck out. You know, but the police didn't do that. They were it's a controversial topic, blah, blah, blah. It's it doesn't have to be if you're just not weird.
Just not weird, yeah.
If you actually have common sense, you can just... I'm not, if you want to wear dresses and shit, you're a male, do what you want.
Yeah.
I won't look at you, but I think personally think it looks weird when you see men dressed up as women.
Just couldn't give a shit. Do whatever you want. Just don't make anyone else that. Just don't be weird about it.
Yeah.
It's the same as anything. Say this to lads who are the question that people put online, how can you put, not to me, but just in general, how to pick up women. Don't be fucking weird. Be less weird.
That actually accounts for 85% of it not being weird.
Yeah.
Because you'll be surprised, the amount of female friends I've spoken to, they're the two biggest, the most common reasons that they reject people is boring / doesn't stand out, says the same stuff as everyone else. Or is just fucking weird, creepy and weird. Yeah. She comes across as weird and creepy.
Yeah. Or
it's easy to not be weird and creepy.
Yeah, well, think back to when we were kids. We're far less weird than we were then.
Of course.
Yeah. because it comes with maturity, but some people don't mature.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God, so let's move straight into another one. So if you could give me a percentage of, like, is there a study that shows going to the gym gets you more women? What's the percentage increase?
It's very difficult. I would just say, like, generally speaking, if you, I don't know about lifting in general, but like lifting with me as a coach, studies have generally shown that like it increases your results by like 216%.
216.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy when you think about it. Like,
and that's specifically with you.
With me only. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's a study that we carried out in house at MD Fitness. I don't know if anyone else has done that, but that's just what I found with my trainees.
I mean, that's good results.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even the girls got more girls. Like, like, but like, no. Generally speaking, like, how much does lifting weights help with dating?
It's got to.
Of course, it has to. Yeah. Like, but it's not everything. Like, you don't just get in shape and then people just sort of throw themselves. Like, well, men do. Men throw themselves. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But that's men because men are creepy. Like,
yeah. If a woman got more like aesthetically pleasing, more men than they already do.
Yeah,
are gonna.
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. But they still do anyway. Like, my mum's like 72 and goes running and gets beeped at by the people in vans and stuff.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm just happy to be like noticed at this point. But like, it's a
fucking. Thanks, lads.
But like, you know, if you're not, some people are not that cheerful about it. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and understandably, like, it's a big fucking issue.
It's weird to. It's still it's a creepy thing to do.
Well, put it this way, I was seeing this girl ages ago, and she had to walk past like a building site on her way to work, right? And she was, this wasn't my girlfriend, it was just someone that I've been seeing for a few months. And she said to me like, oh, like I started to hate walking to work because like these guys on this like building site keep like whistling at me. And I'm like, get the name of the construction company or whatever, because it'll literally be there on the fencing that they put up. Ring the fucking head office and say, tell your fucking cavemen to stop shouting at me like on my way, do you know what I mean? Or I'm gonna like, bring fucking charges to your company or whatever, and it's stopped like that.
I've never wondered, like, are they doing it for fun? Because this builders can tell us because it's a thing. Well, like, no one.
I'm not a builder. I don't know. I don't know if it's like part of the training or something when you're a builder. Like, listen, mate. Like, so you know, you got to like do this here, and then like this girl walks past, and you got to like, you know,
you're out, John, because you didn't whistle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're getting demoted, like.
Yeah. So the reason I didn't get a promotion is I didn't whistle at the four girls that walked past.
Yeah.
They were 13. But that didn't stop Tomo and Chris and and Gary. They still did it because that's part of the job. That's in the description.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't get it because I nearly fell out the tree then. We're nearly
do it for the pod.
Primal thing of falling out of a tree. Surely just doing it because they think it's funny. Because surely most girls, 99 plus more percent of girls, aren't going. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I can't remember. I don't think it's effective. Like,
no,
when there's a group, like when there's a group, so it's probably just more intimidating.
They're trying to intimidate me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's get into their mind frame of the builder. So, girls walking past, first thing comes in your head is I've got to whistle.
The first thing comes in your head is fucking hell, I need a sausage roll. I need to go to Gregory's patisserie.
Gregory's patisserie is valid in this situation. Obviously, I'm not going to be doing any work today. So I need to fill my time up with Gregory's patisserie and intimidating women that walk past. How else are they going to get intimidated? I've got to whistle at them, but there's a percent that she might be interested.
Yeah, like
I know I'm fast.
0.0001%.
But there's still, you're saying there's a chance.
If there's a chance, then they will try.
I will take it. That must
there's
be
technically
something.
Always a chance. Like,
well, it's probable.
Because if that's happened once ever in human history, then. That's like evidence that it can work, technically.
Well, I heard from Barry, that his mate.
Oh, Baz.
Down south, did it, and
his
it worked.
Mate, yeah. Baz's mate, yeah.
He didn't say if it was a man or a woman that whistled that, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't really ask that now, anyway.
No. It was George Washington from the US.
Yeah, George Washington. Literally looked like fucking George Washington, mate, honestly. But yeah, on a serious note, like, lifting weights to improve dating. Life. I mean, people do appreciate it. I think most people appreciate it. Most people, if you ask them, would prefer. But like, still, personality/character, it's not a replacement for that. Like, so if you have a good personality/character, then it's
the same with all skills. You can improve that one. Optional. If you've got a boss personality and you're a bit overweight, and you want to go an extra, you want to improve yourself a bit, go to the gym.
Yeah, of course. And also, like,
or run, or whatever.
People obviously just want to focus on the things that are very easy to change. So, like, people will ask me, for example, oh, what's the best protein powder, like, what's the best supplement to take, or, like, what time should I take it? Because it's very easy to just start drinking it at 9 instead of 11, or to buy this protein powder instead.
Yeah.
But, like, the easiest interventions are usually not the most fruitful. Like, it doesn't fucking matter, by the way, for both of those questions. It doesn't matter what time, doesn't matter what brand. You know, it's more like, have you stuck to the gym? Have you stuck to this plan that I sent you for the past
six weeks?
And why not?
Well, that's a question for you. The ones who don't stick to it, what excuses are they given?
Social events, usually. So, like, yeah, I understand in today's world, like, we have a lot going on socially, especially if you live in a big city, you have a very active social life. It's so easy to just go out to the bar and have a couple of drinks in midweek, and then that can escalate. And if you've got like a common peer group, like a group of lads, people that are in like a common group of lads,
yeah,
lads, like, it will get out of control.
Yeah.
And so the intervention then becomes like, all right, mate, like, let's just be honest about this. If you want to get to from point A to point B in terms of your fitness, whatever, the reality is this is not a good environment to be in. Mm-hmm. And, like, it might be the case that, like, if you stay with these people, you just might not be able to reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just life. It's not good or bad. It just is the way it is.
Yep.
Like, you can't make a decision without sacrificing something else. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I mean, that can even be as going down to calories. So beer is, it rinses your calories. I remember from when I was dieting, I had to put so much, like, take away so much food to get a beer in. To go on a night out, and it's ruined. It's so bad to do. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
Especially because I was on a major calorie deficit.
Yeah.
Removing lunch just to have a beer.
You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, mate, basically.
Yeah. So I went on a, because I told you yesterday, I got dropped from my football team for being overweight. Not for me, not for scoring or assisting or playing well or bad, because I was overweight. And it took that for me to actually put effort in. I could still run around a pitch for 90 minutes, but I was overweight.
Yeah.
So I went, I'm going to do a mad diet. You taught me how to use form in the gym. Because I was just doing random shit.
Yeah.
And you explained to me how to do sets and reps and just things that most basic people don't know.
Yeah.
Because they've never done it. They just think, go in the gym, run a bit, lift some weights up, you're done. But diet was the most important thing. I tracked everything, weighed everything. And I went down to 65 kilos. And for someone who's 5'9", it's quite light.
Yeah.
But I did not get tired when I ran at football. The full 90 finish, and I was still ready to go again. So it worked. But I was a bit too far. I looked really, really thin. Really thin. But I was then, when I got to that point, I increased my calories massively. I still couldn't gain any weight because I was running so much.
Yeah.
It was mad. So I would have had to eat a lot. And I'll throw this back to an old video of yours and your brother's. There was a video you two did dead funny, where to get big you need to eat a lot, and you were throwing milk
like
over yourself.
Eating motivation, yeah.
Parody thing. It was dead funny.
Yeah, because like we saw that there was loads of this is literally like 10 years ago more.
Yeah, long.
So we saw that there was loads of like training montage, like training motivation, and we're very like light on motivation. We think motivation's just cringe, really.
Yeah.
Because like it's pointless trying to motivate other people because everyone gets motivated for different reasons, so it's just a really tricky thing to mess with.
Yeah.
Like I always tell my clients, like, you need to be motivated to change. It's just that you need help directing your efforts. That's what I'm here for. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to give you like this big pep talk unless like I really have to, or unless you really fucked up or something and I have to call you a fucking melt. You know, something like that. So we just thought, oh, we'll make an eating motivation video instead of a training one.
It was dead like, funny, though, when I saw you.
Just like eating like Cocoa Pops with like ladles and stuff.
I remember.
It's kind of true in a way. Like, you do need to. The take home message is you do need to eat big to get big.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yeah.
That is it. I had the same issue as you, actually. I was too heavy for. I went to walk Hadrian's Wall last year because I'm super into history with my mate, and he does jiu-jitsu 3 times a week. So he's very fit. I was doing like not much cardio at all, and I weighed probably around 90 kilos, which is like the heaviest I've been.
But 90 kilos with low body fat.
lowish.
Yeah, I mean low compared to like some just a normal person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I have more muscle mass as well, so that makes whatever fat you've got appear less, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like close to 200 pounds basically. The Americans watch.
There you go, boys.
Close to 200 pounds, and for 5'9", to me that just feels a bit too heavy, and I fucking suffered on this walk because I was carrying about must have been 20, 25 kilos with me.
On your back?
Oh yeah, just all my stuff, like because we were camping and stuff. And it was, we had a heat wave as well.
Nice.
So that was disgusting, and we were just up and down hills, and I was just trailing behind, mate. And the fact is, like, you get good at what you practice, and I hadn't been practicing walking around with heavy, with big loads.
Well,
on my back.
Depends how long it's been. Big loads down here. And that could brings us back to getting girls.
Yeah.
I carry a big load around with me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I actually made the point the other day. I was, because me and my mate talk a lot about, you know, there's been a lot made of reparations and like colonization and stuff like that. And like, especially with the coronation the other day, that sort of brought up these discussions again. And, I was just saying, like, I think the biggest export, when you think about it in real terms, the biggest export of the British Empire, when you think about how we moved to all these countries and started mixing with like local women, so the biggest export of the British Empire is probably cum.
Mm.
When you think about it, it's a lot, man.
Could be, yeah, well,
just everywhere,
spread it around the world.
Just coming in every country. Man.
Yeah, got to, or otherwise we wouldn't have.
I read about a guy that had like 80 kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He
went to India and had. He was Anglo-Indian, right? So his dad was.
His dad went and shagged.
His dad was white and his mum was Indian.
Mm.
And he was born in India, you know, because the British were in India for ages. Yeah, yeah. He was born there, so he was like an Anglo-Indian guy, like racially. And then he himself went and had like 80 kids.
Shagging.
Proper.
Yeah. Did he go to the gym?
No, he's fat as fuck.
Was he?
Yeah, he's fat as fuck.
So what we said before doesn't matter.
He was fat as fuck, but he was also like kind of rich and like had a lot of influence.
Well, there's another thing.
And
he's rich.
And he raised his own regiment of Sikh cavalry
that
wore yellow uniforms and could like ride the horses standing up and like throw lances from horseback and do all this crazy shit. So if you're the leader of those, you probably will get girls.
Yeah, yeah. That's another idea, lads. If you're looking, if you want to create a Sikh regiment.
Raise a regiment of cavalry, call it Skinner's Horse, or whatever your surname is, Horse.
Yeah.
His name was James Skinner.
Right.
And,
I reckon that'll work. So it's another thing. You don't have to go to the gym. You could do that instead.
Yeah. Some general gallant actions like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could join the army and, like, nearly die and get a Victoria Cross. Mm. You do have to nearly fucking die or maybe die to get one.
Depends how fit that bird
is. Generally speaking, yeah.
Mm. Depends how much you want it.
Yeah. I mean, what are you willing to... sacrifice.
You need to show her that you're serious. That this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favourite steroid?
My favourite steroid is the ones that, the medical ones.
Those make you massive though?
Not the one, no, they make you smaller actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So I often joke that I've been on catabolic steroids because they're actually muscle wasting.
Right,
you know,
right.
You were saying that Tanya was on them for,
arthritis.
The arthritis, yeah. So I've had arthritis as well. It's a autoimmune version called spondyloarthritis, which means it mostly affects your back, but it can also affect like your hips and your toes and all kinds of fucking everywhere basically. But that's the specific type I had, and it's common that they give you prednisolone, which is a steroid. It's like a medical steroid, right?
As well, yeah.
So it's like just a strong anti-inflammatory or a corticosteroid, as it's known. And when I say, oh yeah, I'm on steroids, people are like, oh yeah, I can tell. I'm
of course
like,
you are.
Yeah, but it's actually has the opposite effect to anabolic steroids. So here's them kids. They were lost before.
Yeah, see if they want to come in the podcast.
One of them said he wanted to die.
Well,
that was how depressed he was that he was lost.
Yeah, lost.
We could kill them, to be honest.
We could.
Nobody would know.
We're back in a minute. That's it. So on actual steroids.
Yeah.
So you're natty, well known.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that they know you're not, but I've
so have I. I've literally been on Reddit, signed in with a different account, and like asked the question, and like everyone's like, yeah, I know
it.
And I'm like, all right, okay, all right. Oh, he gets it from that guy called Craig. Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I know someone he got it from. Oh, right, okay, yeah.
My response to them, it's been a fair few. Like, it's not that big. You just look big.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, that is natural bodybuilding for you, right? It's the illusion of muscularity, because when you're muscular looking, people just assume that on pictures, people just assume that in real life you're going to be like big.
Yeah, you're actually not.
I'm like 5'9" and I'm not like super broad. Do you know what I mean? But like when I take my top off, I'm just muscular because I've been lifting weights for a long fucking time.
Long time.
That's what happens. So you know, your body will just adapt to it. And that's the beauty of natural bodybuilding. It's getting a physique. My mate said it's getting a physique that looks like it can't be achieved naturally, especially on pictures anyway. But it matters about your genetics as well, because how quickly you build muscle, how quickly you lose fat, how lower body fat you can maintain a healthy hormone balance with, you know, because it's not healthy being lean all the time. Now you might think I'm like ripped. If you want to insert a picture.
Yeah, I was going to do that at the start. They're just like, what's this dickhead talking about?
Yeah, he's got a jacket underneath. Look, but I swear I'm muscly.
Yeah, honestly, same. Look.
So like, because you were saying the other day, yesterday, you were like, I've got bigger arms than you. Maybe you have.
Nah.
It's about looking muscular. That's what bodybuilding is. It's about looking a certain way. It's an aesthetic. It's not really about performance. My favorite steroids are medical ones.
So Tren?
Tren is, I believe, the strongest steroid that you can be on. It's like, apparently, like, imagine you're just like a turbo man.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Just like aggressive, argumentative. You just want to shag things all the time.
Just any man.
Like anything.
Yeah.
Anyone. I was actually in the gym. I was actually in the gym ages ago in the reception, and I overheard a conversation. This is a classic. And this guy was like, "Are you still on gear? Like, are you still using gear?" And he was like, "Nah, I had to stop it, didn't I? I kept banging my dad out."
Americans watching, we mean punch.
Yeah, they're not. Get smashing me dad. Fuck it. Son, can you just stop?
Stop. You need to stop with them steroids.
You're in the wrong bed, you're in the wrong room.
I just really need it, Dad.
On the topic of going in the wrong room, actually.
Yeah.
So I was a reservist a long time ago. I was in the Army Reserves. And we used to... It's a strange military culture of like being able to drink loads on a night out and then the next day get up at 5 or 6 and then perform as good as you would have if you hadn't drunk. Like, people just pride themselves on it. It's absolutely crazy. There was a guy who was drunk, got up in the middle of the night, went to go for a piss, took a wrong turn, went into someone's room who was like a higher rank than him and like pissed all over him. It's like this name, like this guy's name. I'm gonna call him John, right?
Yeah.
So this
classic John.
So this officer is like waking up, like just getting showered with piss. It's like a golden shower he did not ask for. But he's in a sleeping bag, right? So you've gotta like get unzip it carefully. Your arms are like trapped in it. So he's like flopping about, going, "Oh, John, stop it." Like just getting pissed on. So stuff like that happens. Just a side tangent about going in the wrong room.
Yeah.
Just don't piss on your...
Don't bang your dad.
Oh, don't piss on your boss. Do you know, funny enough, so another one of the jobs that I... One of the many jobs that I had, I was dealing with high-level complaints at B&Q. It's like Home Depot. Because we used to install kitchens and bathrooms, right? We used to offer that as a service. And the ones that we fucked up, the complaints would come to me, some of them. And I dealt with this Northern Irish guy. And his accent, man, he was really awkward. He was tough to deal with. But on one occasion, he said to me that he got really irate on the phone. And he said, "I'm going to come down here and smash your boss." And I'm like... that doesn't mean what you think it means. I'm gonna come and smash your boss. That's literally what he said. And I was like, I don't think you want to do
that. What the fuck's that noise?
I think it's is it a train? Imagine a train just came through the
middle.
We're actually on a train track, we didn't know.
So words mean different things.
Oh, yeah, that is the thing,
in the same language.
I think smash is a great word, though.
Yeah. Well, Americans are using that now, Smash or Pass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And we use drill as well.
Yeah. Plow.
Drill. Do you remember the thing that Richard Keys got sacked off for with Jamie Redknapp? He was on a hot mic. Basically, someone had it in for him.
I know it happened. I don't know what he
said,
though.
So he was sat in this studio with, like, Graham Souness, Jamie Redknapp, and someone else.
Wouldn't it have been Andy Gray with him as well?
Yeah, that was a separate incident. No, Andy Gray wasn't there. So Richard Keys was sat there, and, like, the clip starts. Obviously, like, they're all having chats when they're not on air. And obviously, they technically are on air, but they only broadcast the bits that they want to. So, like, someone's done him here. Like, but anyway, he's, like, sat there in the studio, and he's talking about, they're talking about some girl that Jamie Redknapp was dating, and and the clip just starts, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, she got blonde hair? Yeah, yeah. And then Jamie Redknapp goes, yeah, I was dating her for a while. And he was like, and Richard Keys goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he puts his feet up and he goes, did you smash it? Like that. And Jamie Redknapp goes, I was going out with a mate. Like, you could say, like, locker room talk or whatever between guys, it still made other guys uncomfortable. Wow. Do you know what I mean? Because it was just way too familiar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and Jamie Redknapp was like, I was going out with a mate. And he was like, so he didn't give me a clear answer. So then he goes, you definitely smashed it. And he was like, you could go around there any night of the week and find Redknapp hanging out the back of it. And like, that's it. If a guy said that to me, I'd find that disgusting, to
be
honest.
He's like 60-something.
Even though it's just lads, like, and there's no girls there or whatever, I still find that stuff like that is just, like, it's just too familiar. Like, I don't need that much information from you. And even the other fellas there, you could see that they were uncomfortable.
Is this a video of it or just the sound?
Yeah, it's video.
Oh.
It's proper funny.
Right.
It is funny, like.
Right.
But anyway.
That's awkward as fuck.
I don't think he should have got fucked off for it, like, because, like, unless you say it on air, like, it's just something that, unless they made a complaint and said, like, because look, it's someone's decision to have broadcast that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've all said stuff in private that's, it is cringe, it is grim, like, but anyway,
yeah.
You got fucked off for it.
I mean.
So that's just one example of how the word smash can be deployed.
That's where that tangent came from.
So,
fake natties. Or fake anything, fake influencers, fake fitness influencers.
Yeah, yeah. So a fake natty is someone who's using steroids and pretends that they're not. So obviously,
to lie about.
And it's usually so that they can benefit financially. Like they can, like they're saying, like, look, I'm in this great shape. It's actually my meal plans and like my training methods and all that. When actually, from where I'm standing at this point, with my experience, I can usually tell who's on fucking steroids and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, and there's people who are just super obvious that are just massive, and you just can't get like that naturally. When they have the Mr. Olympia every year, like the biggest guys, like they're obviously massive. And like they're on stage and stuff, and you could argue like, oh yeah, they look good when they're on stage, but they're only lean for like a few days a year. Like,
right.
The rest of the time, they just look just too big, man.
What about Liver King?
Liver King, man.
Yeah, so that went viral a while ago because he finally got out of the lion.
I mean, nobody was really surprised by this.
Of course not. I didn't know who he was, though.
But the point is, he had the nerve to fucking lie about it.
Yeah.
And the arrogance to think that people thought he was natural. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, he's just I'm not asked that he's juicing. I'm asked that he's just a liar and trying to rip. He's actually trying to sell people these, like, stupid liver tablets.
I seen that because I didn't know what the issue was.
Fucking stupid.
The issue was him making money.
Yeah. So look, liver is, by for all intents and purposes, a superfood. It's got a lot of vitamins in it. You can buy it from the supermarket pretty fucking cheap. You don't have to buy the liver capsules, man. It's a rip off, mate. It's a rip off. It's like buying powdered fucking vegetables and shit like that.
Mm.
Don't do it. Just buy vegetables. Powder them yourself. Put them
just don't powder them.
Yeah.
Vegetables taste nice.
I
seen something today that just made me go, that's so correct. If you're like over the age of 14 and you still pretend you don't like vegetables, just grow up.
Yeah, yeah.
They taste nice.
Just stop being literally, like, when people say, because I get people saying to me, like, oh, I don't really like fruit or I don't really like vegetables on their form, you know, when I'm doing meal plans. And I'm like, what do you mean, like all vegetables? Yeah. Are you saying, do you mean like sprouts, or do you mean like potatoes, or do you mean everything in between?
I mean, roast parsnips.
Yeah, like you're telling me honey glazed roast parsnips.
Yeah.
Like what fucking planet you are? Like, and my advice is usually, just stop being a little fucking baby and just eat like an adult. Do you know what I mean? I'm not doing you a meal plan without vegetables in it.
Imagine how hard that would be.
It's just crazy. It's just insane.
Yeah. They taste nice.
I'm just like, how have you got through life? Like, because, I mean, I'm not a parent, but like, if my kid says I'm not eating vegetables, I'll be like, all right, you just go hungry then. You fucking little.
You'll eat them soon.
Yeah.
We'll send you into the forest and get lost with them other kids.
Yeah.
All right. So, fitness influencers, how do they make money?
They either basically two routes or a combination of the two. One is coaching people, which is what I do. So I'll do customized programs and meal plans, and I'll also coach people, which includes the customized program and meal plan, plus weekly check-ins, ongoing support, that sort of thing. And if they take me on, or if I take them on and they live close to me, I will meet up with them a couple of times for some training sessions as well, just because coaching technique is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's one of the hardest things to do online. You know, you can send videos, you can talk through it as good as you want, but it's just, there's no substitute for actually being there. So I'll sometimes advise them actually to just get a session or two with a PT just to get used to some of the basic movements. Mm-hmm. And I'll just handle the programming, like, you, this is how much work you're doing, these are the exercises I want you to do, that sort of thing. So people will either coach, or they will be like an influencer, and they will just focus on getting content that gets a lot of views, whether that's pictures, videos, reels, whatever, and then get sponsors. That's it. You're just like paid posts. That's it.
Yep.
And some people do a bit of both.
Yeah.
So those are broadly the two routes. And usually what you'll see is like people who've been coaching a long time, they'll get to a point where they've built up a good client base, and then maybe they will automate a few things. Maybe they'll take on another coach or two so that they can take on even more clients, that sort of thing. Or they'll make like a clothing brand or something, because once you've got like a following that's like really bought into what you're doing and they like your content, you can then create a product to sell to them, like, which is not, which is not limited to the fitness influences, is it?
Especially if people underestimate the power of online influence. You can, if you've got people who will do what you tell them to do, you can make loads of money. It doesn't even need to be that many people.
I've made like a history account on the side, actually, because I'm like super interested.
We'll promote
in that.
It. Anyone who likes history, it'll be some linked somewhere.
Yeah, hopefully I'll have more than one post up by the time you check. I just did one post about how the British got like annihilated in Afghanistan. Pretty gory, actually. And from then on, I've just mainly done stories. But I plan to do a YouTube, and I'm partway through a script for my first video, which is a biography of some guy. And then on the back of that, I'm going to do short reels from the same footage and YouTube shorts and whatnot. And then maybe I'll start selling some merchandise with some historical quotes on it.
It's good. Like, a lot of people tell me that,
like, a t-shirt with like Alfred the Great on the front or something like
that. Exactly. You know what I mean? They tell me they're starting YouTube. I'm going to start YouTube. What, like, how do I grow? No, you need to already know what the goal is. You need to, are people going to watch your content? You know people
Why
are they going to
watch?
They're going to watch history content.
Yeah.
Because you're the fan, you know what you want to watch.
Yeah. I also think that, like, most of the people who talk about history, traditionally, I mean, this is changing now with people doing it on social media and not just doing a degree and becoming a history teacher. Most of the people that talk about it are kind of like nerdy looking, and don't go to the gym. So I'm kind of just like trying to be a little bit different in that sense,
trying to push them together,
be a jacked
we
want to
be nerds,
we want to be both.
You want to be Dan Librarian?
We don't want Dan Librarian. Dan Historian. Dan Geologist. Dan Pornographer.
You don't need to be a nerd to be into history. My thing's geography. I'm probably not going to do any sort of account for it, but the way you're into history, I'm into geography.
Yeah. Like map geography. Bird's eye view type geography.
Places and countries and borders.
Well, I remember like in school, one of the sort of standout lessons, geography lessons that we had, was about Burkina Faso.
Right.
And the capital, which is Ouagadougou. That was just an example of like a random country somewhere that was probably just on the syllabus, like teach the kids about a random country somewhere outside of Europe, you know, and explain like the economy and like, you know, the main rivers and the capital and whatnot. And it was very, very interesting.
Green red flag with a yellow star in the middle.
That's it. I could get a mix. I like doing the flag game actually, and like a lot of the flags, like all the flags in the Middle East are the same, but just the colours reversed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And like a different shape at the side. It's fucked.
Yeah.
Like Sudan, UAE, Kuwait,
Yemen,
Egypt is
Jordan.
A bit different. Jordan.
Yeah. Palestine.
Yeah.
They're all very similar. South Sudan's kind of similar. It's got blue on it.
Are they fighting now?
Sudan is fighting itself.
Sudan is fighting South Sudan.
No, South Sudan's fine.
Oh fuck!
So no, it's just it's internal
war. So complicated.
Yeah.
Maybe we should like colonize it again.
Did we colonize Sudan in the first place?
Yeah.
All right.
Probably. It's actually a really cool story about how we did that. Well, not cool, but like
it's interesting.
It's interesting. Basically, so the British were already in Egypt.
Yeah.
And there was a guy called Charles George Gordon. He was like a missionary. This is how the empire happened. This is how like we colonized a lot of places. Most of the time we were like going in somewhere preemptively so that the French didn't go in there, or the Spanish didn't, or the Dutch.
Someone was going to
which,
go in.
Yeah, there. Which have, by the way, demonstrably worse human rights records as empires. Like, so we were going in there to preempt other people, really, or because like British commercial interests were threatened. So unless you're against mercantilism, which is like, you know, buying raw materials, let's say silks from India, and then making them into fine clothes or whatever, and then selling them back to, unless you're against that, then, you know. So like, there was a guy called Charles George Gordon, and he was campaigning in Sudan to end the slave trade, right? And he got in some trouble there. Like, he basically, there was not many people in Sudan that wanted to end slavery with him. Do you know what I mean? There was just not the will for it. Like, the ruling class didn't want to do it. And there was some unrest there, and then he got sent with an army to evacuate any British citizens that were based there, but instead decided to, because the city was threatened by Islamists, basically Islamic insurgents. There was a guy called, what was his actual name? He called himself the Mahdi, or the Chosen One. He was like Muhammad's descendant or something. That's what he claimed. And he threatened the city. And so Charles George Gordon was besieged in the city, held out for like a year or something, and then the city got overrun, he got killed, loads of people got butchered. So the British sent, this was in like, what, 18, must have been like 18, late 1870s or very early 1890s at the latest. The British finally sent like a, almost like a revenge force, really. We don't do that anymore, which is a shame. Like, just imagine sending an army somewhere just to save face, just to be like, you've not beaten us, right? Like, we need to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, America still do that because America's the dominant power now, right? You could argue they are an empire.
I would say, yeah.
Anyway, the British sent in an army in like 1898. And this was like, this was like the old world versus the new, right? These Islamists had like spears and shit. I mean, they had guns as well, but not many, and they probably weren't very well trained with them. They also just didn't have the same sort of command and control as the British. You know, the British army, like a very old institution. And they also had this new thing called the Maxim gun, which is like a really effective machine gun, basically.
Right.
And so, you know, Kitchener on the posters, is like your country needs you, the guy with the big yard brush moustache, famous in World War One for recruiting posters. He was in command of this army, and afterwards, subsequently, he earned the nickname the Machine of the Sudan, because he just ripped apart this army. Like, so obviously it was like not really a fair fight, like, but the British were still severely outnumbered, but it, basically what happened was, I think about 48 British got killed and about 12,000 Sudanese got killed.
Mm-hmm.
So like kind of one-sided,
yeah,
as you can imagine
a bit.
But actually, Winston Churchill was in that battle as well, and he was on one of the very last British horseback cavalry charges, and he wrote a great memoir of that battle called The River War, which is fascinating to read, loads of gory first-hand accounts, because he was like a war journalist as well. So he wrote a letter to his parents and was like, I'm afraid to say I shot 5 people with my revolver. I was very calm though, and feel just as calm as I am now when I write this letter. Something like that.
Right.
So anyway, Kitchener's won. Apparently he like had a look through his binoculars and remarked that like the enemy seems to have had a good dusting, and then they broke for lunch and then like moved into the actual capital city of Omdurman.
Right.
So that's the Battle of Omdurman. And I think the guy in charge of the insurgency, the Chosen One, was actually killed at some point, and someone brought Kitchener his skull, which he then used as an ashtray,
right.
Which is just pretty badass.
Why,
to be honest.
Why not?
Yeah. You know, vanquish your enemies, like you might as well.
I mean, he was British, we should have turned it into a
teapot.
Yeah, teapot. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's a bit of a side tangent on Sudan, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I've got a geography-based tangent off that.
Okay.
So I was telling you, the border between Egypt and Sudan is a straight line, kind of.
Yeah.
Because there was two lines drawn. Sudan agreed with one, Egypt agreed with the other.
Yeah.
Egypt want the flat one, Sudan want the one like this, because then there's two places of land. One that's a trapezoid,
yep,
called the Beit Awil, and then there's the Halaib Triangle, which is on the Nile. They obviously both want the bigger, wet one. They don't want the one in the desert. Whoever says the Beit Awil is theirs loses the other one.
Right.
So both said, it's not ours, we both want that one. I'm not certain there's any actual fighting going on nowhere else. It's just, we both claim it's ours.
Yeah.
So I know a guy who's claiming Beit Awil. I've met him.
The desert one.
The desert one. He's claimed it's a country and called it Beer Land. Beer is a well, so it's the well of water. Like there is water there. It's underground.
How big is it? How many square miles are we talking?
I don't know. I'll pop it on the screen. I can't remember.
Okay.
I have done a podcast with him. I met him in Belgium.
All right.
It's nice. Coming out after this.
Obviously. And
he explains everything. So people who are interested in that, then go watch it. There have been claims to it, but no one's physically gone there and put a flag down. He went. Not to claim it to, like, oh, my daughter's now a princess. There are people who live in there and they don't have land. They don't live in Egypt or Sudan.
Oh, right.
And
so it's a philanthropic.
That's exactly. The whole thing's humanitarian. He explains it well in the episode. And I asked him about money. Who's paying for it? Tim. He's paying for it all.
Oh, sick.
He's doing diplomatic relations. Egypt have said, they go watch the episode. Egypt said it's cool. Sudan a bit busy at the minute. But they're basically not, if any of them have an issue, it means that they want that land.
Yeah,
so they're both going to say, no, you do your thing.
Yeah,
and he's got contacts with the Arab countries who are going to help him with flights and stuff. So it looks like it's going to be a big thing.
Wow.
And that was, I found it interesting. So we literally stood in the middle of Grand Place in Brussels and did the podcast. Instead of on a tree.
That's sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Mad. What was...
I'm guessing he's going to build an airport, right?
He's got...
That'll take a while.
Well, they're not building an airport. There is
the closest land, one's
going to be... No, the closest one's miles away. There's land that they can land small planes on. It's just flat desert rocks.
Yeah.
They've already tested, apparently, that it will accept small aircraft.
Mm.
I think that's going to be boss. It's going to take a long time. He's been doing it for like 10 years. But it could be a new country,
which would be pretty
interesting.
Has he made a flag?
Yeah, yeah.
It's
green, white, blue with the emblem in the middle, which is a tree. Tree of life, he calls it. Blue represents, I think, the water. White is peace. Green is land. And... I can't remember, blue, some sky, I can't remember. He said that in the episode.
It should be like a beer thing.
Just a can of beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like skull or
call
something.
Call it Beerland. The skull, yeah, call it
that's a disgusting beer that's...
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably like Dutch or Netherlands, from like Norway or something, skull. Can't be, maybe it's Swedish.
Right.
Can't be British, that. No. It would be called like... the pickled pheasant or something.
The fucking hobgoblin or
something. So we're now sat in a tree. Very uncomfortable.
Hey, your ass got raw yet?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, dead. You're straddling that tree.
Yeah, I might change my position a little bit.
Good. Tell you what we can do. Do you often get weird DMs? I do, but you probably get more. Threatening
sometimes.
DMs, thirsty DMs.
Threatening, thirsty-ish, some, yeah, yeah. Like, it's hard to decide. Like, if a girl's DM you, it's usually not that thirsty. It's usually, like, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But if guys DM you, it's fucking brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to block them, really.
I mean, yeah, they don't really affect me when I get negative comments. I just don't really
get a lot of, to be honest, a lot of the gym-related questions are from like non-English speakers or people who speak English very little, like the Middle East, India.
But they're interested in something.
Get a lot of messages from like Indians saying like, sir, for how long have you been playing gym and stuff like that.
How long have you been playing gym?
I've been playing gym for probably since I was like 17. And I'm like 34, 35
half your life.
Yeah.
Playing gym for a very long time.
Playing gym a long time, yeah.
So I play gym sometimes. But on
and play it part time.
Yeah,
I have a few strange DMs. I mean, I'll
get them up.
I'll try and have a look now. Like they have petered off because like I have obviously blocked the worst offenders. Let me see.
This is generally more women get obviously the thirsty DMs from men, but.
Well, this one just says gear with a question mark.
There you go.
I never replied to that.
All right.
Someone else calling me transphobic. This doesn't really mean anything, I don't think.
Depends. Is that George Washington
it's just
himself?
A made-up word. It was a satire meme that I posted where it says, "Man regrets transitioning to woman after seeing line for restroom," which is fucking true, isn't it?
They're long the women's ones. Yeah. I often when I go somewhere
and it's funny.
There's a queue for women. But there's no queue for men. I often say to them, just go in the men's one. We don't care.
Yeah.
But if a weird, creepy man comes in, get out quickly, because
men
are creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so he called me transphobic.
Yeah, yeah. Did you cry?
I cried, yeah. I need to go do the work and do the hard work and unlearn all these toxic behaviours.
Good.
This one says handsome. No, oh, yeah, it's just handsome.
Handsome.
Just talking to me.
Looking
to themselves
great.
Over and over
looking
again.
Great. Is that a girl or a gay lad?
I think it. Well, the display picture's a cat, so.
Right.
I don't.
Probably a cat.
It's probably a dude, man.
Yeah. No, it could be. That's probably a girl, but that's my point with lads do this all the time, talk to themselves in girls' DMs.
Yes, literally.
Thinking the girl doesn't see it. She sees it. She sees it and just ignores it. Just stop it. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's creepy that.
Yeah, I hate this. Hey, Mike, I have a really important proposal for you. Tell me what the fuck it is.
That happens to me all the time. Hey, bro, can I speak to you?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You just did.
I'm not responding to you.
Yeah.
It's happened more and more these days since I changed what I do for a living of helping YouTubers make more money. Can I ask you a question, bro? I've got a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Ask me the question.
Yeah.
I don't mind you DMing me, but I'm not responding to that. I haven't got a lot to do, but I'm still not going to respond to it. But I will definitely respond if you ask me an actual proper question.
This one says, how are you so outrageously jacked? Didn't answer that because it's not really a quick response. Do you know what I mean? Have to make him wait like 15 years for the answer. Let's have a look. Me and Najo had one ages ago that I like repost now and again because it's funny. On the Facebook page that we had, it was like... See, I got back to this like in recent years, and I can't remember whether it was me or Joe that sent the actual response. But it basically said, the question was like, what's the best anabolic steroid to put on muscle and serious bulk? And like, we thought that was funny because like, you're differentiating muscle with like bulk. Like, you just mean the same thing. Anyway, so we replied and said, your fucking mum's a serious bulk.
Was he serious, the lad, as well, or was it just a funny question?
Well, I think it was a bit of both. Like, he obviously was accusing us of using gear, so we were asking for gear advice, and we always just have a laugh with these people. So we were like, your fucking mum's a serious bulk. And he replied saying, okay then, you're going to help me or what? And we never responded to him, so like maybe a few days later, we just got a message saying, ye are two outrageous faggots. I think he's Irish or something. He's obviously frustrated, he didn't get a response, and he's just called us outrageous faggots. There's plenty of people that don't really pay much attention to the training and their diet, but they will go on steroids. Like, that's the whole point, because then you don't have to think about...
Did it work that well?
Yeah.
Really?
It literally does, mate. It's crazy. Like, there's a famous study that happened a while ago. I'm not sure of the actual detail, but something roughly along these lines happened. So there was a steroid group and a non-steroid group, right? In these groups were people who trained and people who didn't train. The people who trained without steroids made less gains than people who were on steroids and didn't train,
right.
Which is crazy. Even the people who were on like placebo steroids made more gains than people who were not on steroids. It's crazy.
So
they trained though as well, obviously.
Moral of the story.
Moral of the story is like, probably don't go on steroids like for a start, because like to me it just, unless you're very, very, very clued up about all the PCs, the post-course treatment and all that sort of stuff, because it's like you get to a point you're probably like taking drugs to counteract drugs, and it's just there's so much to monitor, and you're fucking around with your hormones, and like, look, you know, I see so many examples, like female friends of mine that have been with like guys who've been like abusive and like just really emotionally turbulent and like fucked up. I'm like, this guy doesn't sound mentally stable. Is he on steroids? And they'll be like, every time, yeah, he's on steroids.
Right.
So it's like, oh, shocker. You know
we
what
have
I mean?
The term here, stedhead.
Stedhead, yeah. Like roid rage.
Yeah. So don't take steroids.
Yeah, Jim, that would be my advice. Never taken them. So, you know, maybe someone who has taken them in an educated way would be better to advise you. Mm. But like, personally, you can get in great shape without them. So like, and also, it fucks with your fertility as well.
Does it?
Yeah. General, even like, even just having more testosterone, like if you were to go on testosterone replacement therapy, that can reduce fertility as well. So, so you might feel better for having higher testosterone, more driven, more motivated, less negative emotions, etc.
Right.
But you might be less fertile as a result.
Tell you, some people say, a lot of people say, going to the gym and working out and being healthy improves their mental health. I see this all the time. So you definitely, if you think about it, if you look shit in the mirror, you're going to feel worse. If you're already feeling bad, it's not good. If you look in the mirror and you're feeling a bit down, and you look boss.
And then you see yourself.
Yeah, I'm fucking shredded, mate.
Yeah, well, once you get like to a certain level of experience in the gym, like even just going in there, getting a bit of a pump, doing a few reps, you obviously look better when you're pumped up a little bit, you've done a few sets or whatever. Even that is like a little boost that just propels you through the rest of the workout. You're like, it's like, but some people don't get as good a return as that. And that's the thing, like if you're starting from a place of like having good genetics and having like a quite a lean and athletic base, then, or a certain bone structure that's quite aesthetic, then you really do have quite a big advantage. But if you don't have those things, it's no excuse not to do it, because you're still going to be in better shape if you lift than if you're not. So like,
There won't be probably many girls watching this. The audience is like 99% men. However, there's a thing girls tend to not know, is that they're not like us. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is, what day of the month. We're the same every day, but girls have the two cycles. So they might look fat. To if they weigh themselves, they might be heavier because of what their hormones are doing. There's a, do you know James Smith? He did a video on it years ago. And I remember looking at it going, I didn't know that. I didn't know girls weighed different amounts during the month.
Oh, my God. Mad. Massively different.
Yeah. I weigh the exact same every day unless I've eaten more.
Yeah. There's loads of things that play into your body weight, right? I tell clients to, a lot of the time, if they seem like overly focused on like scale weight, I'll be like, okay, weigh yourself every day for me. And, you know, follow this diet. And you'll notice that like your weight has gone like that all week, but at the end of the week you visually look less fat because you've stuck to the diet, you've lost fat. But your actual body weight, there's so many things that come into play, like your digestion, water retention, stress, you know, what the types of foods that you've eaten that day, like there's so many things that come into it. So I get them to weigh themselves every day just to show them, give them evidence of how changeable it is. And to instead compare your weight, if your goal is fat loss, to compare your weight from between week one and week three, or week three and week seven, for example, instead of like, why have I gained half a pound overnight? Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
What have you been eating? What you've been drinking?
I
drink, I would say, triple the amount of water anyone else does.
Right.
I just drink constantly. So I know that later in the day I'm going to be heavier. Because like the water weighs a lot. So when I'm going to the gym, I always weigh myself the first thing when I wake up in the morning. After I've had a piss. Weigh myself, and then I'm
after
happy.
You've pissed the bed.
Well, obviously, piss someone else's bed. going to someone else's room in a hotel, piss in their bed, then weigh myself.
I heard an insult once, like someone called someone else a piss face.
Piss face. It really looks like you've been pissed on. Looks like someone's pissed in your face. I'll tell you what. We started doing a podcast, and have you noticed how podcasts go viral on TikTok? Because people say these stupidest shit. If I clip some of the stuff we said before, that'll get more views than the actual interesting stuff we talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get someone who goes, as a fitness guy, I don't drink water anymore.
I never knew the answer to getting bigger muscles was smoking.
Is that the answer?
That is the answer, obviously.
And you've done research on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's anabolic tobacco.
Anabolic tobacco.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, add that in with not drinking water. That makes you heavy.
Yeah, yeah.
Drinking water makes you heavy. And eating a lot of sugar gives you more energy. So the bigger the sugar intake, the more energy you've got to get massive.
True, actually.
Yeah. And there's calories in sugar, so just lumps of sugar.
Well, sugar, on a serious note, sugar is very much demonized. Unless you've got unless you're diabetic in some way, or you have blood sugar issues in some other way, you don't really need to monitor your sugar intake. You do, because it's bad for your teeth, sense.
Yeah.
I would try to limit it just for that reason.
Yeah.
But body composition wise, it doesn't really matter as much.
I'll tell you a funny thing that you said to me ages ago. I'm talking 8 years ago, maybe six.
Oh shit.
I went on a diet, and it was a low calorie diet and a low carb diet and a low fat diet. It was just
low everything.
Low everything. It was just salad.
Like starvation.
Salad and a bit of meat, and I was tired, but I was losing weight. And you said to me, "Can you still get it up?" I was like, "Nope." I'm not horny at all. Wouldn't even know if I could get it up. I'm going to say no, and your answer was eat some fat. I went the next couple of weeks eating fat. I was back to normal.
Yeah, yeah.
My body had not. It couldn't think about getting up.
Yeah, fat plays a very important role in hormone regulation.
Yeah.
One of which, testosterone. Yeah. But being calorie restricted for a long time, being in a calorie deficit a long time, that'll do it in and of itself. Even if you're in a surplus and you don't have much fat, it might affect things a little bit, but it's mainly a product of your body. In essence, your body thinks you're starving, so why is it going to give you the energy to reproduce?
Yeah, it was spot on. I'd never thought about it, and I didn't even think about it at the time because I wasn't horny. I had no energy.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I just you heard of the no fat thing? You heard of it, yeah?
Just not eating fat.
No fat.
Oh, no fap. I thought you said fat. Yeah, no fap, yeah.
You heard of it?
Yeah, I don't know why they would do it, but it exists.
Yeah, yeah, so you'll all know about it. I tried it for a bit, just because I was interested. I thought, I'm going to do my own fucking experiment. I don't have much faith in it, but I'm going to try it. Tried it. And, I don't know if I felt more, content and stuff like that. I think what happened was, because I wasn't, having sex either,
yeah.
I would still meet up with girls and stuff, socially and be like... But I would just be like, do you know what? I'm doing this thing, doing this stupid no fap thing.
I bet your girls were like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that a strange counter charm?
Yeah, that
it's
was
really weird.
That was what we thought.
It's
then.
Really weird. So, that whole process made me think,
it's a new angle now.
but I noticed the reason, and I thought, this is getting easier the longer I do it. I just became disinterested in girls. I didn't get interested in lads. What I mean to say, I just wasn't sexually...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just wasn't active,
Yeah.
And I thought, it's getting easier. I'm doing really well. But then later it dawned on me, I'm not actually having sex. And that regulates your hormones. So my testosterone's probably just dropped. Which is, the opposite goal of the no-fap thing. Usually people who do it are, obsessed with testosterone. No. Do you know what I mean? They're always talking about, you got to do this and do that. It's have you seen these memes where it's the Chad such and such versus the virgin such and such? It's the virgin testosterone optimizer versus the Chad testosteroner or something like that. One of them rarely talks about testosterone, the other one always talks about it, stuff like that.
So what we can take from this podcast is...
Go to the fucking gym.
Go to the gym. Don't be creepy.
Yeah, go to the gym, don't be creepy. Don't go in the girls' changing rooms if you're a man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If you want to wear dresses and stuff, that's fine, but like if you have a dick, you should probably not go in the women's changing rooms.
Yeah. The British Army was probably the best empire in the world.
British Army, Army, pretty sick.
Yeah,
pretty sick. Very old institution.
Yeah. Can go into a massive battle with and hardly lose any men.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And there was a guy who had 80 kids because he was the top shagger in India.
Yeah. James Skinner, you can look him up.
Yeah, smoking makes you massive.
Smoking makes you big.
And not wanking, but telling the girls that you don't wank gets you laid. Pretty much, that's how we roll. You got anything else to say?
I think that just about sums it up. If you want to increase your dating success by 216%, just drop me a message and we'll start coaching.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain it's regulated by the FCA.
Yeah.
Financial contact. Because you're going to pay, so they've got to regulate it, and that's how it works. So see you later.
Peace out.
Boom. Right, let's get down on this tree.
Oh, my ass is killing me. Fucking hell.
Oh, we forgot. Don't bang your dad.
Don't smash your dad, and don't smash your boss either, or someone else's boss. I'll come and smash your boss. I'll come down there and smash your boss. That's literally what he said. You believe that?
Funny.
I was like, mate.